Rosa Tamborino est professeure au Polytechnique de Turin. Elle est formée comme architecte, mais elle a travaillé depuis aussi sur l'histoire de l'architecture. Elle avait notamment fait une thèse qui a été traduite et qui est sur Haussmann et tous les travaux haussmanniennes du 19e siècle. Elle a fait beaucoup de travaux aussi sur tout ce qui est la naissance de l'archéologie dans l'espace urbain. Et elle a publié aussi beaucoup de livres sur l'archéologie, l'urbanisme et sur des architectes et des interventions de l'architecture dans l'espace urbain. Elle a un curriculum très dense qui touche surtout aux questions de, comment on peut dire, du patrimoine à l'intérieur de l'espace urbain, on peut dire ça. Et aussi à la naissance de la notion de patrimoine et à la naissance aussi de la notion de plan, de pensée urbaine au sens large. En ce moment, Rosa est en train de travailler aussi sur plusieurs projets de modélisation des changements de l'espace social. Elle travaille avec l'Université de Los Angeles et en collaboration avec eux, ils sont en train de faire plusieurs travaux en Afrique aussi, non ?
Sur la Nubie.
Et ici, avec l'IGN et l'École de hautes études, on va développer aussi, avec le Polytechnique de Turin, un projet sur la modélisation de certaines percées haussmanniennes sur Paris, et notamment sur la percée de rue de Rivoli.
Merci, Maurizio. I would like to speak English if for you is fine, because English is a sort of neutral language for us. And I would like to thank you, thanks seminar the organizer of a seminar international and Maurizio Gribaudi qui m'a invité et qui merci pour ta présentation. My presentation is about digital humanities and history urban, or if you like, how history, urban history, can meet digital humanities technologies. So I will try to discuss with an introduction the relationships between digital humanities and urban history. And mostly I would like to present as urban history always has developed the idea of representing city or representing urban space also in the past, and what is changing now with digital technologies. And finally, I will do it also presenting some of our projects of my research group at the Politecnico di Torino, short name is Polito. And finally, I will invite you to discuss some challenges of urban history into a digital society, that is the society where we are doing history, we are making history nowadays. About methodologies, digital humanities asks for new methodologies. We used to say digital urban history or urban digital history. This is not just a simple question, because it's quite different to speak about digital urban history or urban digital history, because methodologies could be quite different. In my opinion, I call digital urban history as urban history as its own methodologies, and that are strongly, I think, we need to keep this kind of methodologies and to improve with new kind of technologies. In my opinion, it means that historical research makes the difference when we speak about digital technologies applied to humanities. Nevertheless, No doubt that ICTs, information and communication technologies, have introduced a change in the paradigm of the historical research. Well, it makes a lot of difference because of the quantity of sources that we can manage with the digital technologies, and because and also because of quality, because data management with database also introduces a new kind of perspective on historical research. And finally, what is changing is how we used to make history and how we tell history. And I will say in the age of the ICTs, in the age of information and communication technologies. There are some references about digital humanities that we can consider in the last the latest books, maybe Defining Digital Humanities, written done by Melissa Terrace and other authors, is quite interesting because is a sort of reflection around how, if we can consider digital humanities as a sort of academic discipline. It is also quite interesting because it seems to define a really new field, completely different than a traditional field. And there are some guides on digital humanities published in the last few years. Not a lot of bibliographies, I have to say. And also, let me quote my own book that is I edited because I would like to emphasize the title. The title was A Digital Urban History, Telling the History of the City in the Age of the ICT Revolution. The focus of the book was about urban history and digital humanities, because there are not so many publications relating urban history with digital humanities, much more relating in a general history, but or other kind of field of humanities, but not specifically urban history. So why I quote the book in the emphasizes the title In the Age of the ICTs. My title, I quoted the famous work by Walter Benjamin, The Work of Art in the Age of Mechanical Reproduction. The book of Walter Benjamin was published in 1936, but it was very important reflection on the Industrial Revolution. Benjamin analyzed the changes in the statute of the work of art, subjected to discussion by the procedures of serialization. He looked at the consequences of mass perception and use. Quantity was transformed into quality, he said thus, and he pointed at the increasing masses of participants that had determined yet a different method of participation. That is very important, relevant, point, in my opinion, of this reading by Benjamin. The idea of the change in participation that was the consequence of a new statute of the work of art. So now we have new and radical change into our society, with that seems as a new revolution. The Web 2.0 has given intellectual access to a new world, and at the same time, the amount of accessible information is growing to mammoth proportions and involve direct sources and outcomes of research. So we have a new accessibility, a new kind of dissemination, but we mostly have a new kind of participation, both participation of researchers and participation of public. And we can emphasize with the computer data visualization. So that is quite new and also quite ancient, because the visualization of urban space has always has been part of our idea of understanding urban space. So we can have this kind of visualization of urban landscape and buildings also since the Jacopo de Barbari overviewing of Venice. And that was a sort of new way at the time to make visible urban landscape, to make visible and to make also understandable urban space as a wall, and with a lot of details that now are very important sources for us. That was done also in other kind of representation of urban space. As we can see, for example, in Siena, Sala della Pace, through the representation of urban space and urban life done by Ambrogio Lorenzetti. But is this a sort of an immersive room conceived at that time to understand the urban space outside of this room, actually? So maybe we have a new tool. We just updated an idea of representing the urban space and understanding urban space. So I think that we need to emphasize, as a historian, that they are tools for representing urban space, for making history, for telling the outcome. And we think to emphasize that our ICTs are something that we can use for the humanities, and we have to look for a human digital age instead of to link just the digital technologies. Another important aspect of the change in the last few years, also increased through the use of digital tools, is the relationship between history and memory. Cultural heritage introduced a lot of new understanding and also a new point of view on the use of history, of urban history. And it is a sort of transversal topic, maybe, of research that also need to be approached as something that can be useful, that be important, and same time we need to make the distinction between cultural heritage, memory, and making history. Digital cultural product that I've conceived for fruition are quite important, because are sort of new way to make understandable, to make accessible cultural heritage. At the same time, in humanities and researchers could be just used as consultant. We know that there are a lot of this kind of digital product that are just using outcome and not conceiving nothing new that are useful, but at the same time could be something that make a perspective not really new on the history. So I don't feel as a consultant. I feel that we can use digital tools and new technologies to make our job. This kind of provision thinks that to make a sort of digital translation for dissemination. But I really emphasize that we can try to create new challenge facing demands of society. We need to answer to demands of young generation, for example. And I feel that we can make a difference by making history in a way, in new way, and also teaching a new generation of digital historian, of digital archaeologist, digital humanist. And for this kind of purpose, we can think to realize, for example, digital platform that could be multi-target, multi-level for different kind of uses. So what I would like to say is that the digital age could be a new challenge for urban historian because we have a lot of new sources, but also because we can have open data and the quantity of data can stress the comparative perspective in making new research and producing new knowledge. And also, we have new tools for visualizing historical process and dynamic of change. That is maybe more congenial for my education, because as Maurizio Gribaudi said, I am an architect as background, and I focus on history of architecture and urban history as an architect, and especially interested in sources related with architectural drawings, but not just these. So we can create visual narratives, but also we need to stress cooperation between disciplines. And because this kind of methodologies that digital humanities requires an important interdisciplinary approach. Well, this is my school, and I would like to present some case study related with our research. And the title of the course that I teach together with other colleagues, we integrate digital urban history with GIS and 3D models for cultural heritage. And we use to create a sort of workshop each semester with students. We have a master student the last year of the architectural studies. And we use to make sort of to teach a sort of research training for students. They need to make some research. Also, we can work together to represent research. And we did some research, for example, as a new reading of this plan. This plan was conceived at the beginning of the 19th century, very early 19th century, in 1802, because of a concourse created by when Napoleon came to Turin and demolished all the wall around Turin. So there was a concourse in order to rethink the city without walls, with a new kind of monuments. And how do you, you can see this drawing is conceived as a sort of visual narrative. There is the plan, but also there are architectural drawings and view representing the idea of the urban space. And this is a description. And we try to interpret this drawing in a new, with a new kind of visual narrative, trying to recreate the urban landscape with the 3D model and videos, in order to represent mills and new bridges of Turin, and to represent mostly a new kind of scale, large scale, that this period started to emphasize into architectural plan. So the scale was not just the scale of the city, but the scale of the landscape around Turin, with the hills, river, etc. So monuments are at the scale of the landscape, much more than at the scale of the urban space. So it's a sort of a tour in Turin related with the reconstruction of this kind of visualization that we can find in the drawing. And so on. There's a very complex idea of new urban space conceived in the plan. And the 3D model really gave the opportunities to try to understand the relationship between new architecture and the existing city. Instead of that, it's quite difficult to understand this kind of relationships in a bidimensional drawing. That was a master thesis. And we also experienced augmented reality and Oculus, creating virtual museum, and the use of Oculus within virtual museum for a PhD thesis that will be discussed next month by Sanat Dovostutz. She also used BIM, that is Building Information Management, is a software database related to 3D model, in order to collect all the kind of information related with this building. The building is the town hall of Turin, and the idea is to create a sort of general database with any kind of information historical, but not only historical, for other kind of purpose. The part related with history is mostly related with this space, this the marble room and the marble hall, and the idea was to try to recreate the perception of this room before the change done in 19th century. In 19th century, this painted, completely painted room was completely changed because it was dressed with marbles. So it became marble room, but it was with important painting, not just only because of the author and because of the paintings that was part of the history of art, but we were almost interested in the narratives of the painting. The paintings were about the history of Turin, because Turin, when was admitted as capital of Duchy of Savoy, didn't have a long history related with the Savoy family. So at that moment, the Savoy family needed to have a sort of origins of a city, important original city. So they asked for these paintings, and these paintings in the Baroque space created a narrative of the city origins originated by an Egyptian divinity. So these divinities was at the beginnings of the foundation of Turin. So it was a very important painting related with the urban history. And it was completely lost, and also the idea of this history is completely lost in Turin and in the understanding of the urban history. So the idea of the virtual museum is not just to represent the painting, because we don't have the painting, so we cannot recreate the painting. We just can recreate some color and the idea of this perception that you can see here, but also looking at a different kind of painting of the same author within the city. But we almost would like to recreate the narrative. So we used a book that was a description that contained a description of this painting as a sort of storytelling use the book, to use its description to understand the urban space. If you use the Oculus and you go into this room, you can look at the space as it was previous, the transformation of 19th century, and also you can have the idea to read the book with a sort of storytelling. The book was in Latin, has been translated, and you can have the storytelling of the painting. So it's a quite complex idea to create a link between the space, urban history, and other kind of sources that are in the into the library of Turin, and also you can link this kind of information with other kind of data that are, for example, at BN Library, National Library in Paris, or in Vienna, for example. So the idea is to create a sort of provision, but at the same time to collect information. We teach this kind of mix the disciplines, and also we are doing some research on the field with the staff of the group. I don't know if we can collect. We can. You see, we have several and staff with a different kind of expertise, and we have also PhD students and master students, and also we have some Chinese students coming to visit us, other scholar from other part of the no. Okay. And but this research are focusing on different part of the urban history, of different specific sources of urban history of Turin. We have a project on Alessandro Antonelli into the city and into the archive, that is an architect of Turin of the 19th century. Our idea is to study the growth of Turin through the architectural drawings of Antonelli, because he built a lot around the districts of the Turin in 19th century. Another project is I would like to show you later is related with a street on Turin and the blocks around the street, the idea is to try to recreate the transformation, the change of these blocks in a long period between 19th century to present. And another project is related with the urban industrial urban heritage in Turin. And finally, we have the Digital Nubia, the project that Maurizio Gribaudi mentioned, that we started the last year with UCLA, the University of Los Angeles, that is ongoing at the moment. And we will have a summer school starting from this year on this project. And the next project, the project in progress, is the progress with the Ecole des Etudes and on Paris. Some case study of the research to show you how we used to work with the different kind of sources. The project related with the factories in Turin started with because I discovered this census of factories that was done in 1914, and is a very unusual kind of census that is related to all different manufacturers in Turin at that moment. And that is very interesting also because the history of industrial Turin generally started with we know that started the end of 19th century, but generally all studies focus mostly on Turin after the First World War, because the war was an important break into this kind of history. I thought that was very important to focus on the industrial Turin before this date, before the change, before the war, but because the war changed a lot the approach to industrial city and also the scale of factories. After the war we had in fact the important the relevant Fiat that grew up as a very the most important industry in Turin, but it started at the beginning of the 20th century, and at that moment, in the beginning of the 20th century, we discovered that there were a lot of different factories of cars, and Fiat started to buy these factories after the war. So we could really study the this kind of story of factories in Turin through this census, where we also could understand much more, for example, how many people worked in the industry at that moment, and also because there were several information in within the census. So for example, what kind of people worked there? For example, male, how many female, how many children, and what kind of manufacturers. So that was very important also because we had for all the city, and we can put on the map of the city this kind of information. And there were a lot of problems to be, and the troubles too, also, because in some cases we also have different updated. For example, we have for this part of the city in 1907, in 1912, in 1914, so several different updates to take into account. And also we create a GIS related with the database, and this is an ongoing project because the GIS and census is just part of the idea of our research project, because we would like to create a digital platform related with all different factories. Very ambitious project, but we did for a lot of them. Also looking for the building permission in order to understand also architecture of this part of the city. And this part of the city also is under changes nowadays, so some of them was destroyed, some of them was recreated, and it's there are a lot of different information to link for each point that we have in this GIS, because this is just for one of district, Amon district of Turin, and also we have a lot of very interesting information that can be linked, for example, related with the advertising. This is for example, the factory of Pininfarina, and we have advertised done by Michelin, and a lot of very interesting data. For example, related, we discovered that Michelin realized a magazine related with the idea of journeys by car, and this kind of travel magazine, there were information very interesting. For example, in this case, you can see there is the representation of different factories around the world of Michelin. So, a lot. So, the idea To create a sort of link between mapping land use and human activities within this land use. I presented this project together with my colleague Fulvio Rinaudo last year in London at the Digital Heritage conference, and we were awarded the best paper. So this is another project, but it's too much. Maybe if you are interested later. Well, I would like to say also that there are also some troubles using digital tools and linking digital humanities. There are problems related with the preservation and maintenance of data. We know that is a very important problem, but also there are some problems related with the filter and the database are not a neutral tool. They create a sort of filter of information, tend to modeling information. So we need to be careful because we can think that if we can't find this kind of information on the web, the information doesn't exist, but it's not like that. We can, I don't know if you checked sometimes very important subject and you didn't find what the, anything in, on web. Sub happened because there is something that need to be updated. And so there are also problems of interoperability, and we are working a lot with engineering about this aspect. And there are problems of cost because model is it takes a lot of time, and if we don't do with the very in a careful way, we can just obtain something that is completely wrong under the point of view of an historian. Maybe it could be appealing, but not realistic and not related with sources. So there are a lot of troubles, but also there are important challenges. Among these challenges, I think that we really face an important engagement with the digital society if we think that we can imagine a sort of a public use of urban history, something that we can share with other people and other researchers. That means that we are the challenge is related with outcome, but is related also with research, because we can imagine not just open data, but we can try to imagine open metadata. That means that we can open this tool to the improvement and implementation of other researchers. That is, for me, the next step. It requires a change of mentality by historians. I am not sure that we are ready for that, because historian researchers always are jealous of about their sources and about their work. But we can imagine really to work together for another kind of research, that is a research made in cooperation, a research that is not finished as a book, but is open to be implemented. So related with outcome, an important challenge is to link museum, because urban history and museum of cities also are strictly related, and there is no reason to imagine to have a sort of so different research to do. I'm cooperating a lot, working a lot with people of museum at the moment for a Nubia project with the Museo Egizio and the director of Museo Egizio, Christian Greco, is a very brilliant scholar that is conceiving a sort of research museum. And I am cooperating also with people involved with the city museums. And this kind of participation is very important, and not only for young generation. This is a picture that I like to show because it's my son with his friends here, and he discovered that that was some years ago, and but that moment they discovered that the museum could be very interesting. And but also is part of history, because city museum also born with the beginnings of urban history. We can imagine that thinking about the Musée Carnavalet in Paris, for example, about 1860, the other museum, or also in Europe and around the world, for example in Chicago. And also we can remember that the urban changes always used the technologies for reading, for study, for understanding urban space. This is, for example, the Outlook Tower of Edinburgh, where Geddes put a sort of lens to look at the city around. That was technology for that moment. We have new kind of technology today to use. In Turin, City Museum is a digital platform that is online with a sort of GIS and database related with the historical archive of city. And also there are some virtual thematic tour of the city within the platform. We are trying to work with Museo Torino at the moment in order to link to Museo Torino our research done on Via Roma, the street of Turin, of central Turin, that was completely rebuilt in 1930. I will show you a little bit this, some of this project. This is photo, aerial photo of Turin with square of Royal Palace, and we are railway station here, and this is Via Roma, is an axis straight connecting two important buildings in Turin, and we have this square Royal Place Royale in the middle. So this street was a sort of Osmanization done in Turin in 20th century, that is conceived for hygienic reason, to create a sort of more convenient and more representative also buildings in the central area of the city. In a moment very peculiar because of the period of fascism in Italy. So it was real a sort of operation of central area that was completely not just demolished and rebuilt, but also it was bought from by important banks and insurance, and they rebuilt a new kind of buildings with a new kind of flats for a different target. And the people that used to live here or to have their shops here needed to go away. So it was like real Haussmannization of this part of the city. So it's, it was quite important because it was complex. It was not just the street how we use it to imagine, but it was an area, a very large area, including a lot of blocks. And you can have an idea of different blocks. There are two parts. First part, this is first part between railway station and piazza, Piazza Reale, that Piazza San Carlo. And there is the other part that was between the Royal Square and the Castle Square. So what we did? We studied and Turin through the cadastre done in the middle of the 19th century. The cadastre was very interesting. It was a sort of a model of other cadastre in Italy. It was done by a professor teaching to Polytechnic School, what was at that time Polytechnic School. And had a lot of information related with blocks, and because also we could study the summary of the cadastre with some important information that were written in the summary, and we created a database from the cadastre, and also we created a GIS linking the database. So that was to try to have all information related with these blocks. Blocks were very complex, and as you can see, there was a fragmentation of different properties, real estate. There were very small plots with open space within the blocks. So we tried to collect all different kind of building permission starting from 19th century till nowadays. So different kind of a lot of different building permission that allowed us to recreate also architecture and the facade of this building before their demolition. Not, we couldn't do it for all buildings. For example, some of them are very detailed, some of them are not. But we could do for a lot of them. When we didn't have enough information, we didn't draw what we try to have another kind of representation in order to make a distinction between correct information data or supposed data. And also we modeled nowadays building. So we sometimes we were able to find also interiors of some building, because in this area there were a lot of cinema, so we did a sort of history of cinema within this part of the city, because we were able to find I think four or five cinema, and in this case we also found a lot of detail of architecture. And that is another kind of story. And also we had drawings of inbuilt buildings. So that means that for part of the street, the concourse was done at that time. So there were other kind of possible Via Roma that could be built, but so in this case we modeled because they were interesting as a sort of model for architectural history, and we linked all these data, all this kind of information for each building, so creating different kind of platform. Also, for example, this kind of video.
Si va arricchendo di nuove bellissime costruzioni. Il concetto della modernità è contenuto in un'architettura sobria e composta.
It was a telejournal done at that time that we could find related with the story of done by fascism of the propaganda related with the street. It was very interesting because we could create in the same platform different kind of readings. The official reading done by fascism that was telling about this incredible idea to build a new city with new buildings and new technologies, but after we could a new kind of building site where people was working, but after we also had photographs and information that can show that it was not a real new kind of building site that was very poor with the traditional material and so on. So you can have an idea on the same digital platform and compare different kind of reading. And after we can create a sort of these stories of buildings and blocks, not just facades, but blocks with different kind of story. Each block was done by different architect, had sort of its own story, so we did several stories for each block. And this is just to show you, and I would like to final. Would like to show you the digital platform to have an idea. That is. For example, for each block we can have this kind of platform. This is one of these a sort of information, digital archive, collecting of drawings, and the 3D models, and so on. We can have something like that related with all different part of the block. And for example, you can have for facades, and we can have until nowadays what happened today. Because we think that nothing is changed, but they are changing a lot. And we can go into the building and to look at the, for example, the cinema that I've shown, and with 3D models and a sort of joke, and there is a DGIS, for example, related with propaganda of fascist, where there was propaganda done by different kind of media, using by different kind of media, and what the media they used. For example, First Tone or Vernissage, etc. And after, you can also within this this kind of database, you can have all information related with the data and a sort of digital archive, and also you can have the 3D model and video as a sort of a synthetic idea to show storytelling of the block. Finally, this kind of project is now online. Is not finished. We are trying to create, as I told you, a sort of model virtual as a virtual museum linking the Museum Turin. And now you can explore online what we did until now, and some of video that are related with different kind of blocks. So each block has its own story, and you can have an idea. If you like to have a final, if you have some more 5 minutes, I would like to just tell you an idea of the new project that we have with UCLA. We just would like to show you a last video because the project is ongoing, so we need to develop a lot of new material, but that is something related with France, so I like to show you is a reading of Nubia done in 19th century by travelers and French writers.
Il est bon d'être en voyage, de vivre joyeux sous le soleil, de se baigner hardiment dans les fortifiants effluves de la nature, et de marcher dans sa liberté sans limite. J'irai ainsi, sans regret et sans pain, d'un bout du monde à l'autre bout. Nous rendîmes à Jirché, nous trouvâmes ce renonteur, un grand monument taillé dans le roc. Aujourd'hui, la clarté du soleil fait paraître les caryatides lourdes et graines. À l'Orient, les dunes bordent le fleuve. le Nil, oblique et tortueux, serpente des perpétuels méandres. Vers l'Occident, les rives boisées ont un grand charme.
So, I have to say that this reconstruction as the idea is to recreate a landscape that doesn't exist anymore. In 1960s, the Aswan Dam destroyed completely this landscape. Buildings were moved and located in many different places. Some of them were just located some kilometers, and some of them went to Western countries. One of them is in Turin now, and one is at the Metropolitan Museum in New York, and one is in a park in Madrid, one is in Leiden. So this landscape, the description is quite very important to recreate this landscape, but also the physical landscape is completely changed by the creation of Lake Nasser. So our project is to recreate a digital Nubia, but also to recreate the cultural context of UNESCO campaign that was a very important project, the first international project of UNESCO to put together a lot of different countries, not just to move monuments, but also to study this monument. So that is to do ongoing, and with next project I would like to show will be to Paris, maybe.
Thank you.